when the fullness of time was come. I often say this when we read this verse, but it bears repeating that God has a divine timetable and God is always on time. And he sent Christ at the moment that he had determined was the right moment.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk, and that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Great verses in Galatians chapter 3, we saw a verse that stood and that spoke the gospel very clearly and very succinctly. Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Let's say that together. "For ye are all the children of God
by faith in Christ Jesus."
Even as John 3:16 is a synopsis of the gospel, Galatians 3:26 is a synopsis of the gospel. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Someone might say to you, "Well, does your church believe that Catholics go to heaven? Does your church believe that Presbyterians go to heaven? Does your church believe that this group or that group go to heaven?" And what you might say to such a person is, that's really not the issue. The issue is not what church one belongs to. The issue is, have they put their total faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone for salvation? This is not about religion tonight. This is about a relationship. It is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. "For ye are all the children of God." How are we the children of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. Simply stated, if someone has not put their complete faith in Christ Jesus, then they are not the child of God. You say, "Well, that sounds rather exclusive. That sounds rather judgmental." Call it what you may, the Bible is very clear that there is one way of salvation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God teaches us in His Word that the children of God have become the heirs of His eternal blessings. We have the rights and the privileges of sonship. We are the sons and daughters of God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. As we saw a few weeks ago, there is no such doctrine as the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man concerning salvation. Yes, God is over all. He has created all. But the only way that we enter into the family of God is by faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as the apostle continues challenging the Galatians, he speaks to them concerning their position as sons and daughters, or as heirs of the righteousness of God. Notice, if you will, in the Bible tonight, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." Notice, first of all, our position as heirs. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And our position speaks to the fact that we have a right to a future inheritance. The word heir speaks of one who can expect a future inheritance or blessing from the family line. And the blessing of forgiveness that we receive in Christ is only the beginning, for we are the heirs of God's righteousness and blessings for all eternity. Now then, the heir, as long as he is a child, or as long as she is a child, has no control, if you will, over their inheritance, even though they will be the lord of it one day. As a child, there is the waiting time, if you will. The heir would have the love of the father. The heir would have the future promise of owning the property. But the heir does not take possession of that property until the fullness of time. Ephesians 2 and verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." There was a time when the Galatians were apart and separated from God, but by the blood of Christ they have become the children of God. Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And so we have a right to inherit a future blessing based upon what Jesus paid with his blood. Then the Bible speaks here of a responsibility to past traditions. In other words, before the Galatians became a part of the family of God, before they were adopted in the family of God, they were going by the traditions of their fathers. Notice this in verse 2. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now in verse 2, we see the Son under the teachers and the governors until the Father appointed a time for them to receive the possession. And this refers to the spiritual condition of the Galatians before they were saved. That is, they were following the rudimentary, elementary concepts of the world as they knew it, whether that would be for the Jews, the law that we've been studying in Galatians, or for the Gentiles, their own philosophies and works. They were under, according to verse number 3, the bondage of the elements of this world, bound by rules and regulations that kept them boxed in, but never brought them justification. And so they did not know the way of salvation, the privilege of eternal life, until they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, the Bible speaks of what they have now. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant. They're no longer under the tutorship and the governorship of the past. They are no longer servants, but sons. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. As the sons and daughters of God who have been born again into the family of God, we are heirs tonight. We are a part of the family of God. And one day we will be welcomed into heaven as the sons and daughters of God. Not because of the rudimentary belief systems of this world. Not because we followed after the systems of bondage spoken of in verse number 3, the elements of this world. You don't gain heaven's entrance according to the elements or teachings of this world, but it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard about a little fellow named Billy who was always in trouble. And his mother asked him one day, "How do you ever expect to get into heaven?" I'm not sure that her theology was that strong. He thought for a moment and said, "Well," he said, "I think what I'll do, I'll just keep running in and out, in and out, in and out, slamming the door, slamming the door. And finally, someone will say to me, 'For heaven's sake, either come in or stay out,' and I'll go in." Now that was his thought on how he'd get into heaven. You know, you could talk to a million people and get a million different ideas on how to get into heaven. But there is only one way to become a child of God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, all the blessings of God are available to his children. All the blessings of God. The other night, my son Matthew and I had had some time to put together our train set under the Christmas tree. And it'll be on my little blog, paulchapel.com. Maybe tomorrow it'll be there. You got to see it. I mean, you haven't had Christmas till you get that train set up. There's just certain things you have to do to get going in the whole season of it. And Matt was kind enough to indulge me. And man, we got down and got the track all around the tree there. And this was the first year we put it together in one piece and plugged it in and flipped the switch and the train actually started going. Usually we have to redo the track several times or go buy a part for the engine or something like that. And this year everything went together. And it was just great. Man, we sat there and looked at it and showed Mrs. Chapel and Christine, "Look at that, isn't that amazing?" And then I let Christine press the whistle for the button for the whistle, and it just sounded great. We sat back and I said to Matthew, I said, "Matt," I said, "now someday when I die, you can have that train. You can play with it with your son." And you know, when you say that to kids, they're supposed to say something like, "Oh, Dad, you're not going to die. And don't talk like that." And Matt just said, "All right, I'll take it." And that's kind of, all right. He's already got this idea what it means to be an heir of something, you know? And maybe your kids like that. They start claiming stuff, you know? And you see, the truth of the matter is, Mrs. Chaplin and I, if the Lord calls us home someday before the rapture, it'd just be our joy for our children to have whatever it is that we could leave for them. Why? Because they are our heirs. And God says, I love you so much that I've given to you forgiveness and grace and eternal life in heaven. And you're not going to gain this by the rudimentary, elemental ideas of this world, but you are having access into heaven because of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your position and mine as an heir of God. But notice, secondly, our pardon through Christ. We've mentioned it, but let's study it now a little more fully. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, in verse 3, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. How many of you would say, well, that describes me before I got saved? In bondage under the elements of the world. But, don't you like that word? You were in bondage, but when the fullness of time was come. Now we see the pardon that we have through Jesus Christ. Now, our pardon was made in his time, when the fullness of time was come, not sooner or later, but when God determined his time. The exact time had arrived, and all things were now made ready for his coming. It was made in his time, when the fullness of time was come. I often say this when we read this verse, but it bears repeating that God has a divine timetable, and God is always on time. And he sent Christ at the moment that he had determined was the right moment. It was made in his time. And this matter of our redemption and salvation was made in his way. I want you to see that. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now our pardon was made on his timetable, and it was made in his way, not our way, not man's idea of how to get to heaven, but God's way. Now notice this way, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law. So our redemption was made possible, verse 4, made of a woman, made under the law. The Lord Jesus Christ came, he was born of the Virgin Mary, no human seed. He was born as the Son of God. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was made under the law. Jesus was perfect in keeping the law, and then perfect in becoming the fulfillment of the law. And so the source of our sonship, the source of our inheritance, is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have hope in him. Ephesians 1:7 speaks of our redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. But there would be no shedding of the blood were there not a Savior who came down in the form of man. And so in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, that his Son might shed blood for the sins of the human race. And thus our pardon was secured, not because we were so good with the elements of this world, but because Jesus paid the price for our salvation. So we see that our pardon was made possible according to his time. And in his way, we have redemption, and then we have adoption. Notice verse 5, the Bible says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, this means that at the moment of salvation, we were placed into the family of God. Sometimes we sing that song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel earth's sod. Brother Rick Houck is one of the most faithful servants of God I've ever known in my life. If you ever have him as a friend, you have a dear friend indeed. Brother Houck's sincere, and Brother Houck loves the Word of God, and he loves to serve. He's not been a problem at all, only a blessing in our ministry. Amen. Many of you may not know that Brother Houck was adopted as a youngster. And I, over the years, have observed Brother Houck as he has had such a wonderful relationship with his mother. How old is she now, Brother Howe? 97 years old. And his 97-year-old mother, many times Brother Howe will say to me, Mom called or Mom wrote. He said to me just last week, I called my mother and I was speaking with her and checking in on her. And here is an illustration of the love of God. The love of God. That someone would reach out and adopt a young boy. And that someone adopted this boy, Brother Rick Houck, this baby. One of the reasons was that she might bring him to Jesus Christ. That she might raise him up in a Christian home. And now then, that she might love and pray for him and provide to the best of their ability for him all the years of their life, now even to the 97th year. What a wonderful love. What a wonderful love we saw in the little drama tonight. A love that would reach out to a rebel-rousing type of a child and include and love. And many in our church have adopted children and brought them into their family. And many have shown love sometimes to the unlovely. But there has never been a greater illustration of that than when Jesus brought you and brought me in. He adopted us and he gives to us the full rights and privileges of sonship. Oh, how we thank God for that. The Holy Spirit places the children of God as adult sons in legal standing before God and in relationship to Him. And the Holy Spirit has no stepchildren. He places us equally into the family of God. What a blessing tonight. There's no staircase with God. Some that he loves a little more and some that he loves a little more and some that he loves a little more. He loves all of his children equally. And our adoption has to do with the end result of salvation. And that is that God sees the beginning from the end. He forgives us. He loves us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's amazing how a parent loves his or her children. And how a parent sometimes can even overlook some of the flaws in our children and hope for the best. And that's the heart of a parent. A parent loves his or her child to the end. A parent believes and believes and hopes. But I want you to know tonight, you have a Father in heaven who loves you and who has adopted you and who will never leave you nor forsake you. He has pardoned you through Christ. And when the devil says to God as an accuser, look at what your child's doing down there on earth. Look at the sin in their life. God the Father says, what sin are you talking about? They've been pardoned by my son. Oh, what a blessing to be saved and to be adopted in the family of God. We see tonight our position as the heirs of God, no longer under the governorship and tutorship of the mentality of this world, but we are the heirs of God through Christ. And we see, secondly, our pardon through Christ. But notice finally tonight, our provision as sons. God says, now that you're in my family, I want to take care of you. I love that little song we sing sometimes. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Notice how he provides, verse 6. And because ye are sons. By the way, how many of you are a son or daughter tonight? All right. Because ye are sons, God hath set forth his spirit, the spirit of his son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now he says, you're my son. You're my daughter. I'm going to give to you something that is only given to a son or to a daughter. I want you to have this. I remember when my grandfather passed away and we went and visited my grandmother and we went into the house and of course she knows what I like. She had angel food cake and raspberries ready to go. I'm telling you what, we sat down and she'd worked so hard at making that angel food cake and getting out the raspberries. Her arthritis is so bad, of course, I had to open the jar, which is just fine with me. I'll open those jars all day long. And I opened up the jar and we ate. And then she said to me, she said, now, Paul, you're the oldest grandson. And your grandfather was so proud of you. And every time the mail came from California, he read it and read it and read it. When the church newsletter came, he'd read it And everybody who'd come in, he had them read it too. And especially when people got saved, he wanted everybody to know about that. She said, now you're the oldest grandson. She said, now, I want you to go over this shelf over here to his library. And said, I want you to take any books over there that you want. And there were several that she said, Granddad wants you to have this one and this one. And some other things that she gave to me. She said, these are yours. Your grandfather wanted you to have them. I want to tell you something tonight. You and I may never inherit millions of dollars, but we will inherit something far greater. In fact, if you're saved, you already have. I want you to see it tonight. What does God provide? First, the comfort of the Spirit, verse 6. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. God says, I only give this to my children. I'm giving to you my Spirit to dwell within you. I'm giving you my Spirit to walk with you and to comfort you. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hey, the Apostle Paul is saying, and the Holy Spirit is saying, look, this is not about you being placed back into bondage and being placed back into fear. God doesn't want you to live with fear. God doesn't want you to wonder about how things are going to be taken care of. God, even when you're down and even when it's difficult, God has given to you His Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God is called the Comforter. And when the Comforter has come, John 14 says, He will guide you and He will teach you and He will help you. And I'm telling you, someone that's not saved may not understand this, but when everything seems to be going wrong and the devil's whispering in your ear that you'll never make it, if you're saved, even in those times, if you listen, there is a still small voice, and it's the voice of God saying, carry on, keep on going, I'll help you, I'll comfort you, get on up and try again. And my friend, I'm thankful tonight that to every child of God, we have received the inheritance of the Holy Spirit of God, and we cry out, Abba, Father. And we do this because He lives within us. Ephesians 1 and verse 13 speaks of it. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, when ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Thank God, if you're saved tonight, you have the comfort of the Spirit provided by God to all of His children. I mean, it's the Spirit that causes me to enjoy the hymns when the unsaved man is bored. It's the Spirit that causes me to love the Word when the unsaved man doesn't get it. It's the Holy Spirit that causes us to love and have joy. And God says, I'm going to give to you my presence in the person and ministry of my Holy Spirit. Oh, every once in a while I've heard people say, well, you Baptists don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I must have the filling of the Holy Spirit. I could not bear the burdens without the Holy Spirit. I would not know that I'm saved without the Holy Spirit. I could not understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. I could not witness without the Holy Spirit. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit. He is our gift. He is our seal as the sons and daughters of God tonight. The Bible is very clear as we read the Scripture. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. I don't understand Christians who don't ever talk to the Father, because when the Spirit is in your heart, you cry, Abba, Father. When the Spirit is in your life, you might be walking from one building to another and you just want to talk to Him and you just want to ask Him for help. And what is that prompting that causes you to do that? It's the Spirit of God in you. It's the Spirit of God in you. Oh, the comfort of the Spirit. But God gives us something else. And I call it tonight the covenant of sonship. God says, I want you to know, and I'm promising you, whether you're from a broken family on this earth or not, I promise you a covenant that will never, ever be broken. I see oftentimes families that break. Thank God we see more that are restored, by the way, around here. I'm thankful for that. But I see families sometimes that break. And I sometimes see the children or the spouse that was hurt, and everything that the one who inflicted pain ever did, right or wrong, is rejected by the hurting party. Everything that they ever believed in is rejected. And what a tragedy to see a broken family. God has not designed the family to break. But if yours has broken because the devil fought in some way in time past, I have some good news for you tonight. Nothing and no one can ever break God's covenant with you that you will always be a part of His family. Look at this in verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him. Oh, listen tonight. We have a covenant tonight, and it is the covenant of sonship. And God says, I've put my seal of my spirit upon you. And I want you to know that as my son, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. And He tells us here that if we are sons, then we are the heirs of God through Jesus Christ. And that is to say, we are children of the King. And oh, when I stop and think about that, and when I think about the Lord God, omnipotent, reigning, and I ponder the fact that I am the child of that reigning King, and that I'm an heir with Him, and that His heaven is now my home, and His righteousness is now my righteousness, and His forgiveness is now my forgiveness, and all that is His is mine because I am His son by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, hey, I don't know what all you may experience in your life and in 2008 and 2009, but don't ever forget that when you got saved, I put my spirit in your heart, and I put the seal of my fatherhood upon your life. My justification is yours. And what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You say, but Pastor, you don't really know how hard times get. I probably don't. It's sometimes hard for any of us to explain to the others of us some of the things going on. And I try to, and you try to. And while we may not ever understand all of the certain difficulties that one another faces, we always must encourage each other with this thought that God understands. And that like a father who is the perfect father, He will never leave us. Turn to Romans chapter 8 as we close. When we have financial setbacks, when we have health trials, when society changes, the devil wants us to feel alone and lonely. Sometimes during the holidays, people are only reminded of families broken and splattered around. But God says to us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine. By the way, excuse me, other Christian generations have had worse than we're having right now. Or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, the devil can try to tell you 1,000 lies a day, but please understand from the Word of God and from the nail-pierced hands tonight and from the old rugged cross, there is still a message coming down to His his children, and his message is, I love you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will not let you beg for bread. You're my child. I'm going to take care of you. My seal is upon you. My ring of sonship is on your finger, and I will never leave you. I love you. That's the message of God tonight. Oh, you say, I've heard people say that before, and they've sure disappointed me. Well, I got to tell you something, friend. God will take care of you. And tonight, he says, you're not just hanging out on the porch hoping to get in. You're already in. And everything that's mine is yours. You're my child. You're my heir. And tonight, let's live like it. And let's get our chins up. And let's get our hearts happy. And let's leave this place tonight knowing God loves his children.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk, a word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together Publications exist to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.